The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
God calls us to give more than just things that meet physical needs. He wants us to extend His love and His light into the lives of those around us so that they can come ultimately to have a relationship with Him and discover His love for them in their lives. And so this series is really key for us to experience the fullness of what Christmas really is all about. Christmas is forgiving. The greatest gift given to every single one of us in this room was the gift of forgiveness given to us in the life of Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. And His Son was given to us to come and to live for one purpose, to die on a cross for us in our place and to offer us the wonderful gift of salvation that comes by the grace of God as He decided to be merciful and to not give us what we deserve, but to freely give us a gift. If I were at your Christmas celebration as a family, and I sat there and watched as you made piles for your children and then demanded your children pay up for their presents, I would think that was a little weird. But sometimes we get to thinking that way when it comes to God's gift. We think that somehow we have to earn the gift of salvation. We think that if our works are good enough, we'll please God good enough and we'll earn this forgiveness. But the truth is that God says, I freely give to you. The life of my Son was freely given. Now, it costs something. It costs Jesus His life. But it's a gift freely given to anybody who would receive it. The scriptures tell us that Jesus came to His own, but His own rejected Him. But to any who receive Him, who choose to believe in His name, they will be given the right to become the children of God. And so the greatest gift given this time of year is the gift of forgiveness through the life of Jesus Christ. Last week we learned of what do we do with this forgiveness? And we learned that just as God forgave us, the hard part is that He calls us to forgive one another. How many of you have ever struggled forgiving somebody of something? That's most of us. And some of you may be sitting here today still dealing with some heavy things in your life that you're just not sure how you could ever forgive. Last week we talked about some principles to help us give and to show us why we should give. And we looked at kind of a focus of what do we do in life when we get hurt by somebody else. And today we're going to take a little step deeper that is not necessarily an easy topic to talk about, still in the issue of forgiveness, but we're going to look at how we are to forgive others. Today, we are talking about how we are to forgive before we give and how we are to initiate forgiveness. So let me take a survey to get us started, okay? First of all, how many of you have ever borrowed something from someone? Good, I've got a good test crowd. Most of you have done that. How many of you are still holding on to that thing that you borrowed? Yeah. You know what? Me too, okay? I'm not just pointing a finger at you. Many of us, we remember when we lend out things, and you can count the things probably right now. You can list out all the things mentally that are missing from your inventory that somebody else has, and those low down, no good people have not yet returned it, right? And then just think back a moment, how much stuff do you have that you've not yet returned? It's easy for us to remember when people have hurt us or wronged us, but when we turn the mirror to ourselves and we look and we reflect on, well, what have I done? That's not as easy to swallow. And so today I want us to take the opportunity to look at our life and to say, God, are there areas of my life where I am harboring unforgiveness? Where I am not giving this gift that should be given year-round, not just at Christmas? Are there areas of my life where I need to reflect the love and light of yourself and forgive others? So today, I'm going to ask you to take some time to do this, to look back at your life and to let God show you areas where you may need to forgive. I want us to key off this verse, and if you have a Bible, I really want to encourage you to mark up your Bible. Get to know your Bible. As a young teenager, I bought my first Bible, and what I loved about it was back in the 80s, it was a really cool teal green color. It like fit in with my cardigan that I would wear. to church that was also teal green, and my rayon shirt. Yeah. So anyway, get to know your Bible. Open it as we're going through scriptures together. Yeah, we provide a handout for you. It makes it easy for you to follow along as we do go through the teaching. But get to know your Bible. Go into to your Bible and make marks, highlight verses, write in the column things that stand out to you as God is bringing the scriptures to life to you. And get to know your word. Today we're going to be keying on a key verse. Our key verse this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 25. Jesus said this, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters, what? Quickly, with your adversary." Do you feel the urgency of these words? I mean, Jesus is speaking, and he is literally saying, when you come to present something to the altar, for many, this was a regular thing where the Jewish people would come and they would present their offerings, their sacrifices to God for their own forgiveness and for keeping with the religious law of the day. And they would come, and for many of them, it became just religious ritual. And the heart of the matter was ignored. And so Jesus clearly points out, it isn't about your gift. It isn't about the thing that you bring. It's about your heart's condition. And if you come and you realize that in the midst of worship, there is something between you and a brother or sister that is wrong, then stop doing what you're doing and go and take care of that. We'll get into that some more. How many, anybody here ever had a family member that was a firefighter? Yeah? Okay, wow, a few of you. My dad, one of my favorite places to be growing up was at the firehouse. My dad was a firefighter, and he was, the cool thing about it is he was on Air Force bases. He started out in the Air Force and then went civil service, but I got to be on like the flight line, and I used to watch from a fire truck as cool planes like F-15s and F-16s would come to land, and one year I even got to see an SR-71 Blackbird come in. And I illegally took a picture, okay? Yeah, I said it. I hope somebody here isn't going to arrest me afterward. But that was in the top secret days when the Blackbird was just unseen. But I loved spending time with my dad in the fire engine and learning about fires. It didn't help my pyromania. Is that the right word? I like to start fires. I still, to this day, are the Lees here? Sometimes I'll get these bonfires. The Lees live right behind me, and they come out and say, "Okay, just want to make sure that wasn't the house on fire." Okay, so I love fires. And one year, I was riding my bike in my neighborhood. I grew up in Fox Ridge Farms, and this was this little trailer park in Aurora, Colorado. And as I'm riding my bike, I smell the familiar smell of fire. I just love that smell. And as I'm riding, I see smoke. But the thing about this fire and smoke is it's coming from a house, from one of the mobile homes in the trailer park. So I ride up to the trailer. I'm like 10 years old. I'd been to, is that Weeblos, Roger? 10? Yeah, okay. I'd been to one Weeblo meeting, okay? And I had seen this book about badges you could win. Now, in no way was I planning this to win a badge. But I rolled up to the house, and I got to the house, and the screen door was closed, but the door was wide open. And I know, for many of us, it's just how we live. But there, that was a sign to me that somebody was home, but there was fire. So I didn't know what was going on. So I walked up to the door. I banged on the door. Nobody answered. So I opened it, and I walked in, and I found a man sleeping in his room. And I woke him up, and I said, sir, your house is on fire. And he got out of bed, and he said, "Will you help me?" And we picked up, I guess his cat just had like a litter of kittens. We carried the kittens out and the cat out. And the next week, a 9 News helicopter landed at the school where I went to and came and presented to me an award. And then the next Weeblo meeting, I only went to 2. The next Weeblo meeting, I got this life-saving badge. And it was like the most sought-after of all Weeblo badges, and I got it in 2 weeks, okay? I still have the plaque to this day that I got given for that. But one of the best things that I learned through that time at the fire department and going through that time was, if you ever catch on fire, what do you do? you stop, drop, and roll. And those are the three things that I want to basically roll with today, except we're going to change it slightly to stop, drop, and give. Okay, so let's go. Let's dive in. Many times in life, there are things that should get our attention. Fire is one of them. There are times when if you ever catch on fire, has anybody here ever been on fire? Okay, I set my brother's hair on fire. Are you serious? I'm sorry to hear that. We'll have to talk about that later. About the age of four, I set my brother's hair on fire. And I also set my mattress, my bed on fire. It wasn't good, but you can suffocate fire by responding immediately. And that's what I did for my brother. I threw a blanket on his head real quick, and it was a terrible smell. Have you ever smelled burning hair? It's just terrible. But we have to be quick to respond to things that need a response. And fire is that way. Fire in the right place is amazing, but fire in the wrong place will destroy. But the same thing happens with us as families. And when areas of unforgiveness and areas that need forgiveness are there, we need to respond immediately or it can literally destroy. And so we need to step into life realizing that there are areas that need our attention. And Jesus was serious about this. I hope that by the end of this time together this morning, you see the urgency of God's words through his son Jesus Christ in this passage. And the first thing I want us to do is I want us to realize that we need to stop. We need to stop and acknowledge those that we have hurt. That's point number one in your handout if you have your handouts. Stop and acknowledge those you have hurt. Now, as I've already said, it's much easier to look at those who have hurt us and make a record of wrongs committed against us. But we need to step back for a moment and think, is there an area where I have hurt someone else? And I need to do something about it. Looking back at our passage for today, Matthew 5:23, just the first part on your handout there, it says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you. Now, usually, it can be the case where a brother or sister have something against you and it's not justified, but we're not talking about that today. Today, if there's some reason that a brother or sister has had something against you, Jesus says, stop, leave your gift there, and go and deal with it. Of course, it's easier to just avoid these situations in life, but God never intended for us to run from conflict. He instead prescribed the right ways for us to deal with conflict. And here, we need to be careful not to avoid, but to confront. How many of you have been at a busy long day shopping, either at a mall or grocery store, and as you're walking from aisle to aisle, out of the corner of your eye, you see somebody that you recognize, that you know? How many you've been out? How many have ever been at a place where you're like, oh no, I don't want to talk right now? And you just quickly go to the next aisle. Yeah, you've been there? Okay. Well, they probably saw you too, and they're thinking the same thing, okay? A lot of times in life, we just want to avoid, you know, certain people. We were at the mall the other night, and I was just praying, God, please let this come to an end, and don't let us see another person we know. Let me just get home and rest. And sometimes we're that way in life when it comes to hard situations. We'd rather avoid it than to deal with it and to talk about it. And some of the things that can creep up in our life aren't comfortable to deal with. Some of the things that we face in our families that are sometimes easy to brush under the rug are things like we've got a family member who may have an eating disorder. Maybe it's a chemical dependency. Alcoholism is a big one that we just want to often hide or just carefully cover so we're not embarrassed. Maybe it's some other kind of chemical, a drug or something. Maybe there's an issue with your sister and her husband. You want to tell them that they're spending too much time at work and they need to spend more time with their kids. Yeah, they're making a lot of money and they're providing for their future, but their kids are suffering in the process, and sometimes it's easier just to not mention it. Maybe we have families that on the outside, it looks like we have it all together, but at home, things are just falling apart. There are sometimes areas of abuse in our homes, whether whether emotional or verbal or physical, sometimes sexual. And we, when we are aware of these kinds of things in our homes and in our relationships, sometimes it's easier just to put a Band-Aid on the wound or brush it out of the way and not deal with it. They can be hard. And sometimes we can be left just feeling overwhelmed and not knowing how to move forward. But God never intended for us to just avoid these things. He said that he would be with us through every trial, through every storm, to help us in any dark time and help us in our relationships. Relationships are some of the most important things in our life. When Jesus Christ himself was asked, what is the most important commandment of all the 615 commandments from the Old Testament? You thought there was just 10? Count again. 615 commandments in the Old Testament. And these Pharisees came to Jesus and said, which is the most important of all of them? And Jesus said, number one, love the Lord God with everything that you are, all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Relationships are the number one most important thing between us and God. First of all, God does not call us to some ritualistic religion where we just go through motions and present tithes and offerings and sacrifices at the appropriate times. God wants our heart. And God not only wants us to be in love with him and love him with every area of our life, but God wants us to love our neighbor, not just our neighbor, but even our enemy, and to pray for those who persecute us. And so relationships are key, and that's the urgency behind this issue. We can't just avoid and let conflict be the thing that dwells between us. We've got to move forward and move past the pain to the healing. And sometimes that will take a lot of work. The problem is we often, we have a weird way of judging each other and judging ourselves. Let's go back to the thing, a survey. I asked you if you had borrowed something and or if you still had something that someone lent you, which I still admit that. I have a ladder that I actually just used, so it served a great purpose the second year in a row that I still have it. But God wants us to move past. A lot of times we're easy to judge because I judge you based on your actions. If you borrow something from me and you don't return it back, you are a loser, okay? And I judge you for that because you haven't followed through. But if you were to turn the table and point back at me and I say, well, you can't judge me based on my actions. Judge me based on my intentions. Because I intended to give it back. I just forgot. I'm not a bad person. I'm just so busy doing good in so many other areas that I forgot to get back to you. And that's how we are oftentimes, is we judge others by what we see on the surface. And we judge ourselves by, well, I thought better. My intention was different. So you can't hold that against me. We can't live life that way. But this affects our homes in many ways. Statistics show that as young men and women grow up, as young adults, statistically they have closer relationships with their moms than with their dads. And studies show that one of the number one reasons is because although dads are great and they have good intentions on the inside, oftentimes dads have a hard time expressing what they feel. Dads, any dads in here agree? A lot of times it's hard for us to be lovey with our kids. Having daughters has broke me out of that shell. You know, I'll sit there and like I shared last week, I'll watch a Disney movie and I'll tear up when old Yeller, well, if you haven't seen old Yeller, I won't tell you what happens in the end, but you know, we need to break past just being well-intentioned on the inside, and we need to break through our shell and respond when something needs a response. But instead, we play these games. For those of you who are married, have you ever gone to bed angry? That's a sin, but I do it as well, okay? You're not supposed to go to bed angry, but sometimes we do, right? And we got that back-to-back position going on, you know? Good night, you know? And we're not really connecting. And God forbid a foot accidentally creeped to the other side and make skin contact, you know? And right away, though, the other leg gets pulled away. You're not getting any of that tonight. Not even a toe, you know. It's we play these games with each other, and then it's the silent game. I'm not saying anything until you admit you're wrong. And we play these games, and they sound funny, but they create distance in our lives. And And if we don't deal with things the right way, they become chasms in our life. And instead of being that couple that was one day in love and just going after life together, instead we grow distant and we become just glorified roommates that are paying the bills together and staying together for the sake of the kids and not really breaking through the areas where we need forgiveness in our lives and restoration. And only God can bring that. Christmas time is the perfect time of year for these things to come to a head. Many of us are spending time with family members that we don't see that often. And some of us are grateful for that. But the truth is we need to break through those things that separate us, that become distance between us. And today, my hope and prayer is that you will take a moment to examine your own heart and to say, God, show me the areas where I need to give forgiveness. Show me, God, the areas where I need to allow you to lead me to healing, to give it. And I want to give you a moment just to think through that. Is there a family member in your life that you've grown distant from? You need to call them. You need to reach out. You're not even sure what you'd say at this point, but there's distance there, and you know you need to do something about it. Maybe there's a mom or a dad. Maybe there's an old friend. Something fell apart, and you haven't talked in years. Maybe it's somebody here at church. You had a disagreement or a misunderstanding and things just aren't the same. Maybe it's an ex-spouse, a coworker. What areas in your life do you need to let God shine a light in and say, let's work on this together. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you work through towards forgiveness, towards healing. God says, I want you to forgive as I forgave you. And so the first thing we need to ask is, we need to ask God for help. God, help me to deal with this. And sometimes the answer is going to come in the form of, you need friends to help you deal with this. You need a mediator. Maybe it might be a professional counselor. But you need to take whatever steps are needed to move forward. And so when you finally get to the point to where you're able to go to that person, the first question should simply be this: how have I hurt you? And then just listen. And that can be the hardest part, because a lot of times we just want to get defensive. Well, this is why I did this, and this is why I did that, and you did this, and so I thought you meant this. But just say, how have I hurt you? And just listen. And let them share with you. We need to stop what we're doing, and we need to respond. Number two, the next thing we do is we drop everything to make it right. The second half of Matthew 5:24 says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. You know, the interesting thing about this passage, if you connect it with the series we just did last month, we talked about worship is not just what we do here on Sunday mornings. It's not just what they would do back in the Old Testament days when they would bring a gift and lay it on an altar. Worship is to be an everyday thing in our lives. And so as we're walking throughout our everyday, every moment in life, and we're walking in union with God, and we're going through our life and obedience to God, and all of a sudden in the midst of life, we realize there's something not right. Then at that moment, drop everything and take care of it. We need to become about pursuing forgiveness at all times and responding immediately. There are some things in our life that we just automatically respond to. I was sleeping in bed about 6 months ago, and in the middle of the night, I can sometimes tell when my daughters are up. I guess that's just the dad thing that God gives as a gift, right, dads? But other times I'll be dead asleep when Brandy wants me to get up and she just needs me to do chores, and I don't hear her. But if it's my daughter's, you know, I sense it for some reason. I don't know. It's just the God thing. But I'm laying there in bed, and Jordan comes to the door. And I sense her presence. Somehow I know she's there. And she's mentioned something about being thirsty and having a drink of water. And in my halfway awakeness, I hear her drop the glass of water. And from the moment she like starts to drop the glass of water and then starts to black out and fall, I am somehow out of my bed and over catching her as the glass shatters and she's falling right on top of it. And I'm able to stop her. I don't know how that happened. It's just somehow when things need a response, it can happen in us. That fight or flight thing takes over. Adrenaline pumps in, and I'm out of bed, and I'm leaping, and I'm jumping, and grabbing my daughter, and keeping her from falling on the glass. And basically, long story short, is that she was what's it called when you don't have enough water? Dehydrated. Okay, and she ended up blacking out because of it. So, but she responded. I remember another time we're at Disneyland in Epcot, where we went through that Mission Space Ride or something. At the end of it, there's this big play place, and my daughter Alexis loves those play places. This was a few years back when she was under the height requirement to get up in that thing, and she's up, and all of a sudden I hear this blood-curdling scream. Have you ever heard your child scream? And just, there's nothing stopping you. You just respond. I don't care if I'm too tall. I'm going up in that thing, and I'm running up through those tunnels, and I'm getting up to the top, and I just hear my daughter just screaming and crying, and I'm like, I'm coming, Lexus, Daddy's coming, and I run in, and thankfully, it wasn't that bad. Her hand somehow got between two pieces of plastic, and as she pulled, it just wouldn't let go, and all I had to do was press on one, and no injury, no blood, all's good. But that scream put me into action. But many of us, we have situations in our life where the people around us in our relationships are screaming. And maybe it's not audible. Maybe it's they're screaming from the inside, that silent scream. But for many of us, we've gone cold to that. And we ignore it. And those screams aren't getting our attention like they should. And there are some things going on in our family lives that are screaming out to us that need our attention, that need us to respond. We can't just go through life pretending that everything is okay. There are some things in our life that need attention, that need help, and we need to deal with it. We need to, as I already said, we need to break through those things that are causing barriers, and we need a breakthrough to find the healing. We drop everything to make it right. Jesus said in Matthew 5:25, the last part of our phrase, He said, settle matters quickly with your adversary. Pray to God for the opportunity to seek forgiveness. And that's the next thing, is that we should, last week we talked about praying for those who offend us, praying that God would bless them, praying that God would heal their hurt. But now we need to pray, God, help me to seek forgiveness. If there's an area of my life that I've messed up, God, help me to seek forgiveness. Some of you may have done something wrong to someone years ago. And let me just say this, a side note. If you've wronged someone, like maybe it's even just in your own thoughts. You've had a particular person in your mind that you can't stand. Okay? You don't like the way they act, the way they talk, the choices they make, the things they do. And just inside, you can't stand them. And God brings you to a place of conviction and leads you to realize that what you're doing is wrong and the way you're feeling about them is wrong. Don't go to them and tell them. Do you get what I'm saying? You may have been watching a certain person and you've had all these bad feelings, but now you like them. The worst thing for you to do is to go up to them and say, hey, I used to hate you and I didn't like this and this and this, but God's healed my heart and I love you now. Don't do that. Hey, don't create a wound just so you can apply medicine on your own. All right, so I'm not applying this to situations and circumstances where the other party doesn't know. But if you have done something and you need to get it right, it's not enough just to go to God and say, God, forgive me for hurting that other person and think it's done. God's saying, wait a minute. Yes, I'm here to forgive you, but you need to go to them and make it right as well. I got a call the other day. I can't remember what day it was. Jordan called me and said, Dad, I'm at school. Somebody just hit the car. And you know, my first question, of course, is, are you all right? She was like, yeah, I wasn't even in the car. I was walking to the car. Somebody backed out of the parking space right into the back of the car. And I was like, great. So let's, this other person, I come to find out after a couple conversations, this other person is a believer. They're also a Christian. And so, you know, sometimes you get angry and you want to respond the right way. And anyway, would it be good enough for that person to turn to me and say, hey, I hit your car, but I've prayed to God and asked for forgiveness, so everything's okay? Would that be enough? Of course not. They've got a responsibility to take care of the hurt, the damage that's been done. In our life, we need to do the same. It's not enough for us just to come to a place of, okay, God, I'm broken. I realize I'm wrong. Forgive me. That's one step, and it's great. But whenever possible, and I do say that carefully, whenever possible, we need to be willing for God to lead us to reconciliation with the other person. And we need to take the steps to go there. So, today I ask you, as you think about those people in your life that you maybe need to pursue forgiveness, giving forgiveness and reconciliation, your next thing is to ask God for help and ask God to provide you an opportunity to do this. I have a friend who, growing up, he was not a Christian. He was a typical guy, liked to party, liked to go out and be with the ladies and do all kinds of stuff. And later in college, he called me and said, John, my whole life has turned around. I've become a pastor. I'm working at a church in Texas, and things are different. I was surprised to hear this about this guy. Later, he ended up sharing a story of how he had hurt this one particular girl so bad during his party days. And he was married now, and he asked his wife permission if he could write this girl and ask for forgiveness. And his wife got behind and prayed with him. And together they prayed. And not 4 days later, it had been 10 years since he had seen this girl. 4 days later, he ran into this girl at McDonald's. He asked God, God, help me to seek forgiveness to make this right. And 4 days later, God gave him the opportunity to do so. And there at McDonald's, they sat down at a table, and he said, I'm sorry for the way I hurt you. My life has been turned around. He told him about how he had given his heart to Christ, and she listened. And that day, he left forgiven. Ask God to provide an opportunity. He just may do it. The next verse I want us to look at is Proverbs 6. We need to realize that this is a serious issue. If you've hurt someone, we need to move towards forgiveness so that we can experience freedom. Proverbs 6 says this: if you've been trapped by what you said, then do this to free yourself. Plead with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself. Harboring unforgiveness can be like a weight around your neck that just wells up and turns into a burden that will just pull you down. Seek God for help to seek forgiveness so that you can be set free. Get it done, and get it done now. Why is this so important? As I already said, relationships are the most important thing in our life. God wants a relationship with us, and God wants us to have good relationships with one another. So how do we move forward? How do we do this? Well, there are two basic phrases that I want you to grab hold of, and they seem simple, but they can be so very hard to say. The first one is, you walk up to the person, if you're genuinely sorry, and you say, I am sorry that I have hurt you. Period. I mean, don't say period. They may take that wrong. But for you. Let that be the end of your sentence. I'm sorry I've hurt you. Don't follow up with an excuse or some reason why you felt justified to do what you did. Let your sorry be, I'm sorry I've hurt you. And end it there. And then, will you forgive me? And sure, that sounds simple. It can be hard to say, but those are the attitudes and the thoughts that we should bring to the table. And yes, there may be some deep things to work through, but these are the first steps that should be taken. When and how do we do this? A great example, Matthew 18, is if somebody has wronged you, you go to them. Don't go to five other people first and say, can you believe what they did to me? And then finally you get right and you go to God. You let God get you right and you go and deal with it. Don't spread it. Go to the person who it was directly involved with. The other thing is from Galatians. Peter and Paul got upset with one another in Galatians chapter 2, I think verse 11 possibly. I can't remember if I gave you that reference. Yes. When Peter came to Antioch, Paul says, I opposed him to his face. Do it face to face. There are going to be times when we have something wrong with one another. Deal with it face to face. Don't fax or email an apology. As much as possible, seek out an opportunity to be face to face. The next thing is we need to be responsible to do our part and trust God to do the rest. When we go and we say these things, when you go and you say, I'm sorry, and will you forgive me? You might get one of three responses back. The first one might be, you know, forget about it. I didn't even know. It's not a big deal. And they may just blow it off. And things are great. The second thing you might get is, yeah, I forgive you. I'm glad you came to me. And your relationship will be stronger for it. The third possibility is, no, I'm not going to forgive you. We're done. I don't ever want to see you again. And of course, that would be the worst, but we cannot control how others will respond. But we have to be responsible for our part. And so we come and we do our part and we pray and trust God for the rest. We have to understand that this is so important that we have to stop everything. We got to drop everything and then we got to deal with it. We have to settle the matter quickly. So our third point for today is we come to a place where we forgive and then we can give. Point three, give your heart and your gifts to God. That part of the key verse today, Matthew 5:24. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Romans 12:1 says this, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So in every area of our life, we need to be pursuing peace and reconciliation, giving forgiveness and receiving forgiveness, and working through these things. Relationships are the most important thing in our life, our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. And so we need to move forward. And why is this such a key issue? Because the enemy, the Bible tells us, is seeking to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the enemy wants to come in. We haven't done a talk in ages on what we call spiritual warfare, what the Bible calls spiritual warfare. But some of the disagreements and distances between us are just the enemy trying to stir up dissension between us. And we need to just come to God and say, God, please remove anything that is causing confusion and help us to pursue peace with one another. And God will bring unity. In our worship and everything we do, when we realize that something is wrong, we need to stop, we need to go make it right, and we need to seek God for help. Christmas is forgiving. And my question to you this morning is there somebody that you need to give the gift of forgiveness? Will you pray with me? So as we take these next few moments, I want to give some special instruction. Normally at the end of a service, we have communion, and today we will have communion. But in several places in Scripture, today's passage is one of those. Christ says, I love you, and I want you to worship me. I want us to walk together and pursue a life of holiness together. But when we know that something is wrong, we need to let God help us deal with it. And there is a place in Scripture where Paul says to those who are about to take communion, he's given some special instruction. He says, when we come together as a family, and that's what we are as the body of Christ, we are family. When we come together as the family and we remember how Christ died for us and his body was broken and his blood was shed, and we go to that moment of about to remember what Christ did for us, and we remember in that moment that there is something between us and someone else, pause and take a moment to examine yourself before you take communion. Pray out to God and ask him for forgiveness if there is an area that you need to ask for forgiveness. The second part is pray out to God and say, God, help me to forgive. And as you get your heart right, then you are in a place where you're ready to receive and to give your offering to God. And so this morning, as we come to this responsive time of allowing God to speak to our hearts, and we respond to him back in worship and remembering his body broken and his blood shed for us, let us first take a moment to examine ourselves, to cry out to God and to pray out to him and say, God, help me in whatever area it is that you feel like God is working within you on. And as usual, we'll have prayer teams in the back. I'll be up here at the front if you want to pray about a particular issue. Let God speak to you and work in you as we work through this subject of forgiveness. And I want to tell you that I'm right with you. There have been areas in my life where I've had to ask God to forgive me, and there are hurts that I've hurt people years ago. Some of them are on Facebook, so I wrote them this week. Unless you want to pay for me to go to Colorado to do it face to face, I think that's a good enough step for now. But let us deal with these things and work towards forgiveness. God, I ask that you help us to come to a place of allowing us to be open to you, where we let you, God, mess in areas of our life that we think we have shut up and packaged away. God, we need your help for healing. We need your help to give forgiveness and to receive forgiveness. And God, we need to forgive as you forgave us. So God, I pray that you would help us to take these steps forward. And for many of us, this will just be the beginning of a journey that will take a while, that we'll need to spend a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time with the other person that we're trying to fix things with. But God, help us to begin that journey. And God, more than anything, I pray that we would start with us here today, realizing, God, that we need to receive your forgiveness fully in order to be able to give forgiveness. And God, if there's somebody here this morning who has never opened up their heart to you to receive the forgiveness that you offer because of your blood shed on a cross, God, I pray that their heart would be broken today and that they would accept your love and the gift of forgiveness into their own lives, and realize that they can be washed white as snow, forgiven completely, and then able to follow you to extend that forgiveness to others. God, I pray that you will work in each of us, no matter where we are in this journey with you and with others, and show us how we can take that next step. Father God, move. In your name we pray. I encourage you to respond as you feel led.